You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Breakfast, about to forget that, Saturday morning, this church offers breakfast, 9 o'clock. Some of you have called me about community service work. If you need community service hours, then if you'll come up here and work at this breakfast, helping them make it and helping them clean up, it can count. And we have people up here that can sign off your little paper for community service. So please do that. They could use the help, and you can use the community service hours. And so it'll profit both of you. Thank you very much.
Storm cloud drive. Oh, That's it. It's the unclouded day.
All right. He started playing that thing when I left. I thought, goodness, he's going to take off. Anybody out there know who wrote that song? You know who wrote it?
Who?
Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson, you're right. Ah, you haven't always been in church much, have you? One of my favorite stories, Willie Nelson, Darrell Royal, told a story. He's playing golf with Willie. They asked him, he said, "What time is it, Willie?" And he said, "It's 10 after." He said, 10 after what? He said, I don't know. I lost an hour hand on my watch. Turn with me in your Bible tonight, if you would, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 22. If you don't have a Bible and would like to follow with us, would you lift your hand? We have some people that will bring you a Bible. Also, let me say this about those Bibles. If you don't have one here with you, just keep that one as the Loop's gift to you. You can just show it to people and say, "I got this at the rec room." A couple of weeks ago, one of the ladies that was leaving Clover House came up after the service and said, "Leland," said, "would you sign my Bible I got here at the rec room?" And that thrilled me to do that. That pleased me. John chapter 10, verse 22. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. I'm sorry, verse 22 said it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication. And it was winter. Just a quick note right here. Every Jew in the world would have known that the Feast of Dedication was in the winter. He didn't have to say it, except John, where Matthew would not have said that because Matthew was the gospel to the Jews. John was the worldwide gospel. It's in John that he said that God so loved the world. Here he said that the Feast of Dedication is in winter. It was really in the winter. The Feast of Dedication actually was on December the 25th. And what they were dedicating, what they were remembering, in 164 B.C., a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes took a pig into the Jewish temple, the one that Ezra rebuilt, took a pig in and slaughtered that pig in Jewish temple. And of course, that was the worst of things that you could do for a Jew, because the pig was an unclean animal to the Jew. And he had just desecrated their altar. And the Feast of Dedication was a celebration because they had cleansed that temple since then. And so Jesus is attending that. Said he walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." During Christ's ministry, the Jews constantly hounded him with questions. They got mad at him if he didn't answer them. They got madder at him when he did answer them. They just worked on trying to trick and catch Christ in anything they could. And Christ gave them different challenges. He said, "If you don't believe me, believe my Father." because he's doing what the Father said would be done in the Old Testament. Believe the words of my Father. He said, if you don't believe that, believe the works that I do. It was amazing that they ended up crucifying a man who gave sight to the blind, who healed the crippled people, who gave hearing to the deaf, who raised the dead from their grave, who did only good, who fed the hungry. Here's a man who did nothing against the law, or nothing against anything, and they come down hard on him and ended up hanging him on a cross, the most hideous of all crimes, the most hideous of all deaths, the most painful. That they hung him out naked on that cross, all the world to ridicule. That's how they treat him. And Christ has asked him, believe me for this sake, believe me for this reason, believe me for what I do, believe me for God's words, believe me for in my Father's name. But in verse 26, he tells us exactly why they didn't believe. He said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. Now that's the reason they didn't believe. See, somebody said this, you have to feed the sheep, but you got to entertain the goats. It's amazing how much of our churches have gone to entertainment. I read a survey that just came out on the internet today, and it was talking about why young people left the church. And they ran this survey, and they did not expect the answers they were going to get. They admitted that this was not what they thought they would get. But here's what the young people told them who'd left the church and gone out of it. Some of them become atheists. And they said because the church didn't take seriously what they preached. One guy specifically named, he said, we had a good youth Bible teacher. He taught us the Bible. We could go to him with questions. And said, then we had a new pastor come in. He changed this, put another guy in, and they wanted to entertain us. They wanted to have more games. They wanted to do more playing around. And he said, I left the church. He said, they had nothing there. They don't believe what they talk about. They're not serious about it. And people that are seriously interested know that. See, you can't con them. They know that that's a problem. So, he said, you're not my sheep. That's why that you don't hear me. Think about this. You ever drive by a house that said, beware of sheep? They are the most helpless, worthless of animals. You couldn't get them to protect anything. They're just sheep. They're very helpless as God's creatures. He said, my sheep know my voice. Isaiah chapter 53:6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. You want a good definition of sin? Just mark Isaiah 53:6 down in your Bible. And it said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's all sin is. We just turned our own way. It didn't say it was illegal. It's not necessarily an illegal way or an immoral way. We're just going to do it our way. It may be something good. But if I decide that I'm going to be a preacher and God don't want me to be a preacher, I'm doing it my way. If I decide I'm going to be a missionary, but God don't want me on the mission field. The Apostle Paul in the Bible kept wanting to go to the Jew. He was a Jew, and from a human point of view, the one man that was saved in the New Testament that should have gone to the Jews was Paul. Paul was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had his doctorate in the Jewish religion. God said, no, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Now, you ought to send somebody like Peter to the Gentiles or John. They're just old cussing fishermen when they got saved. Hey. Paul was Professor Paul. when he gets saved, he knows all that. God said, I'm sending you, because that's where God wanted him. That's where his power was. He wrote half the New Testament from that position. But he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. It didn't say that all we like sheep have grabbed the shepherd, beat him up, tore down the fence, and run off. He said, we've gone astray. That's what a sheep will do. That's why they had to have shepherds. They weren't going to bolt and run, but you'd look up and they were gone. Because they just eased off. And that's what a lot of us have done. There's a whole bunch of sinners that's never smoked a joint. There's a whole bunch of sinners that's never drank a fifth. There's a whole bunch of sinners that maybe never cursed. I mean, we could go down the list, but the Bible said all have sinned and come short of God because we have all done it our way. Here's what I want you to do, God said. So, no, sir, I think I'll try it this way. This seems a little better for me. I'll hand it this way. We're just prone to wander. So he said, these are my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Notice this. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. You know why many people say, I don't understand the Bible? Well, you're not a sheep. You don't hear the shepherd's voice. He's a stranger to you. Those shepherds that kept those sheep, they could put them all in the sheep pen when the storms came. And then when the storm was over, one shepherd could walk up and call his sheep, and only his sheep came out because they knew his voice. And then another shepherd would come up, and he'd call his sheep, and that group would come out. They knew his voice. Here's what he's talking. This is what Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Now, and by the way, that's the issue. It's not if you know Jesus. Does Jesus know you? Hey, that'll be the question. Because remember what he said one time? He said, depart from me. I never knew you. Well, wait a minute. Don't you remember that time that I helped somebody across the street? I gave the angel tree. I bought some gifts for somebody. I fed the homeless. I didn't feed them what I was eating, of course, but I fed them. I mean, McDonald's good enough for them. Yeah. He said, they know my voice, and not only that, they follow me. They follow me. You can tell God's sheep by those that's following him. Now, what are you going to say if you're not following him? He said, my sheep hear my voice. Verse 27, I know them, and they follow me. And then notice that God knows and cares for his sheep. Verse 28 says this, I give unto them eternal life. About how long does that last? I mean, just in round figures. Eternal life's eternal life, isn't it? He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never what? Never perish. How long is that? Yeah. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. One fellow said to him one time, he said, I can take my own life. And I couldn't answer the question then. I couldn't now. I don't know why people ask me questions when I can't answer them. If they'd give me a warning on them. See, if they'd just warn me a day or two, I could work on it and come up with an answer. But I've never been able to think very fast on my feet. About all I never say is, yeah. That's about. But after I thought, you know what? You can't take your life. You can just transfer it. You can just transfer it to another place. I was reading Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. And the Bible said the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell. He was on earth, he died, he's in hell. Even though he died, he's still alive. See, your soul is going to live forever. My soul's going to live forever. It won't live forever on this earth. But it's going to live forever. That's why he said, I give unto them eternal life. Not eternal death. Life. Life that's more abundantly, something that's worthwhile. I give unto them eternal life, And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Get the picture. We're in Christ's hand. If you're his sheep, you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm not talking about if you joined the church, or if you got baptized, or if you kept communion, or any of that stuff. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you know him as his Savior, and he knows you as your, as one of his sheep, you're in his hand, he said. And then he said that no man can pluck them out of my hand. There's not anybody, not even Satan, is stronger than Christ. When Christ told him to leave, he had to leave. But he said, you're in my hand. And then he said, my Father, which is greater than me, what did he say here? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. His Father puts his hand over the Savior's hand, and I and my Father are one. That means their hands are welded together. Nobody can get out. Nobody wants out. Anybody that's in there wouldn't want out. Goodness, you going to heaven? Would you want out? Here we are. He said, nobody can touch you. My sheep are as safe as you can get. You're in Christ's hand, and Christ is in God's hand, and they are both one. You cannot break them apart to get to me. You know what? That makes me feel pretty good. I mean, I can look at the devil and go, nah. You can't touch me. Now, you sometimes you can be about half smart, Alec. You can't touch me. I remember when I was little, and I've seen kids run and get behind their daddy and stick out their tongue at you. You know, pick at you. You can't touch me. They hanging on to mama's coattails. Let me tell you, God's sheep. Get the picture now. Here's the reason. They kept missing it. You're not one of the sheep. First step, are you one of the sheep? How do you get to be a sheep? You trust the shepherd. I said that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And if somebody said, could you clarify that a little bit for me? Let me move three verses down. It said, for whosoever, you got that? Who's that mean? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Who can do that? Who? Where can you do that? When can you do that? All right. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say might be, ought to be, there's a good possibility. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how you get to be a sheep. And once you're a sheep, you can never become a goat. Yeah, we need to do that. Brother, if you're God's child, you need to praise him. And if you're not, you need to get there as quick as you can. Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And tonight, you know, you're not a sheep. We're going to pray just a moment. And I'm going to encourage you to become a sheep. If you would like for me to pray for you to become a sheep, would you just slip up your hand while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Just slip up your hand and say, would you pray for me? God bless you. I'll see your hand. See you. Anybody else? I see yours, sir. You can slip them back down. Yes, over here. Once you put them up. Yes, sir. I see them. You can slip them back down. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I see yours. In a moment, we're going to give you that opportunity. Here's what I want you to do right now. While I'm praying, I want you in your heart of hearts. Now you know your heart. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I trust Jesus Christ to save my soul tonight. I trust nothing else but Him. I believe He died for me, shed His blood on the cross for me. And He said He'd save me. While I pray, I want you to ask Him to come into your heart. Then what I want you to do when I finish praying, I want you to come to the front and say, tonight, I become a sheep. I take my stand with the shepherd. I want people to know that I'm one of God's children. I'm honest with God tonight. Also, there's some of you, and you're God's sheep, but you don't look much like it. Maybe your behavior's been more like a goat. And you need to come tonight and get that cleaned up. You know what you need to do. I don't have to explain those things to you. If you're God's sheep, you know what you need to do. You need to get to this altar and confess your sins. And then start living like you're talking. I want you to stand, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Everybody stand to your feet. We're going to pray our Heavenly Father. In a moment, we're opening this altar so people would come and declare themselves sheep for Jesus' sake and turn their lives and their wills and their heart over to you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. On the very first verse, I want you to come, Brother Charles. Come on, come right now. Come on, yes, sir. Y'all come right on. Brother Doug. Come right on. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Go ahead. Come right on. Come. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. Come on. Just as I am. Come on. You know what God wants you to do? With our heads still bowed, just the musicians playing, I'm going to invite you now to come. This is easy as I know how to make it. Would you come? You said, I know I need to be a sheep. Would you come on? No more singing, but would you come? Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for those that came tonight. We don't know what their decisions were. We can't see a heart. But You know every heart. We can't con You. You know us. And Father, thank You for Jesus Christ, who died for us, who made the plan so simple, and yet You gave all You had. You made it free to us, and yet You paid the highest price that anyone ever paid. So, Father, help us to leave here praising your name. Father, we pray that some will leave here that came in goats that are leaving the sheep. We pray that some of your sheep will leave here looking like it. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you for it. Amen. God bless you. Refreshment bar is open.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.